Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up. Tonight we're having a breaking story, and Rose Colombo speaks out on new revelations regarding Christine Blasey Ford versus Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I think we need to look at everything, and then you can decide for yourself. The hearings were set on September 27, 2018, when Christine Blasey Ford testified, and then Judge Brett Kavanaugh testified against sexual allegations, which he denied. Since then, there were four witnesses named. All four witnesses have either said they don't recall any such party or incident, or the new witnesses that came forward, three of them. Two of them recanted their story, one of them recanted his story, and then he apologized for his allegations, his false allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. So let's get started, because we do have some very interesting information to bring to you. And this was found on the conservativetreehouse.com. It is entitled The Last Refuge. Christine Blasey Ford, friend in Delaware, was career FBI agent, and likely together during an accusation, they constructed a letter. Allegedly constructed a letter, I would say. But this is an article published October 3rd, 2018 by Sundance. And you can Google it and find it online. In the letter released last night from a former boyfriend of Christine Blasey Ford, there was a name curiously not redacted, the name of Monica L. McLean. And that name was revealed as a lifelong friend of Ms. Ford, who Ms. Ford helped with the polygraph preparation. The media has begun to focus on the letter as outlining a lie told by Ms. Ford during recent congressional testimony. But the backstory to Ms. Monica Lee McLean is even a bigger story. A boyfriend came forward, an ex-boyfriend of Christine Blasey at the time, and he says, "I first met Christine Blasey, now Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, in 1989 or 1990 in California. And from 1990 to 1991, I was just friends with Ford. From approximately 1992 to 1998, I was in a relationship with Dr. Ford. I found her truthful and maintain no animosity towards her. During our time dating, Dr. Ford never brought up anything regarding her experience as a victim of sexual assault, harassment, or misconduct. Dr. Ford never mentioned Brett Kavanaugh. During some of the time we were dating, Dr. Ford lived with Monica L. McLean." Remember that name, Monica L. McLean. I don't recall that name coming up in the hearings. And he says, who I understood to be her lifelong best friend. During that time, it was my understanding that Monica L. McLean was interviewing for jobs with the FBI and the United States Attorney's Office. I witnessed Dr. Ford help Monica L. McLean prepare for a potential polygraph exam. Dr. Ford explained in detail what to expect, how polygraphs worked, and helped McLean become familiar and less nervous about the exam. Dr. Ford was able to help because of her background in psychology. Dr. Ford and I lived together, he said, while we were dating and stayed together in a long-distance relationship. When Dr. Ford moved to Hawaii sometime around 1998. So she has been flying around the country for a long time. Although I am not aware of the particular year, and it might have been a bit earlier or later than 1998. Now, the important thing to remember on this letter right now is that her best friend, she's known her nearly her entire life, Monica L. McLean, who was also her roommate. He says he witnessed Dr. Ford help McLean prepare a potential polygraph exam. Dr. Ford explained in detail what to expect, how polygraphs worked, and helped McLean become familiar and less nervous about the exam. Dr. Ford was able to help because of her background in psychology. Now, since that time, she was listed as a research psychologist. She testified she was a research psychologist, but there's allegations that she does not have a California state license or any license in the United States, and also that it's alleged she did not take the state board exam. Dr. Ford and I lived together while we were dating, he said, and we stayed together in a long-distance relationship. When Dr. Ford moved to Hawaii sometime around 1998, while visiting Ford in Hawaii, we traveled around the Hawaiian Islands, including one time on a propeller plane. Dr. Ford never indicated a fear of flying. In her testimony, she said she was terrified of flying and that her friends had to talk her into getting on the plane to fly to D.C. to attend the Senate hearings. And then during the hearings that we learned that she flies around the country to Hawaii, Costa Mesa, D.C. to attend anti-Trump marches with pink hats and a pink knitted brain on her head, and also to Delaware to visit her best friend, apparently, Monica L. McLean, allegedly, as well as her family. And it goes on to say Dr. Ford never indicated a fear of flying. To the best of my recollection, Dr. Ford never expressed a fear of close quarters, tight spaces, or places with only one exit. In other words, she had testified under oath she was claustrophobic, and she had to put a second door on a home in Palo Alto, but she failed to disclose that she had a second home as well, and her husband, and that the home in Palo Alto was also a rental home, and people came and came in and came out through one of the other doors, and so that was an important piece of information as well. The letter goes on to say that she never expressed a fear of close quarters, tight spaces, or places with only one exit. I assisted Dr. Ford with finding a place to live in California. She ended up living in a very small 500-square-foot house with one door. So if you're claustrophobic, why would you live in a 500 square foot house with one door? I don't know. I'm just asking. Despite trying to maintain a long distance relationship, he says, I ended the relationship once I discovered that Dr. Ford was unfaithful while living in Hawaii. After the breakup, I took her off the credit card we shared. But nearly 1 year later, I noticed Dr. Ford had been charging the card and charged about $600 worth of merchandise. When I confronted her, Dr. Ford said she did not use the card, but later admitted to the use after I threatened to involve fraud prevention. I didn't speak again to Dr. Ford until about 2002, when Ford contacted me briefly. After that, I hadn't thought much about her until I saw her story in the Washington Post dated September 16, 2018. That was after it was leaked from Senator Feinstein's office. Allegedly, first, it was alleged that a Representative Eshoo leaked it, but then there's another allegation that one of Feinstein's staff members leaked the letter to the press. Prior to the hearings, 6 weeks before the hearings, and that hit the public. I didn't want to become involved in this process or current investigation, but I wanted to be truthful about what I know. Signed, her ex-boyfriend has blacked out, dated October 2nd, 2018, at 8:01 PDT time. In addition to boyfriend noting Miss Monica L. McLean in the current letter, Miss Monica Lee McLean was also one of the signatories of another letter from the Holton Arms class of 1984, bolstering the credibility of Miss Blasey Ford. It only starts to get more convoluted. A letter dated September 17, 2018 states to the United States Congress, we of the Holton Arms class of 1984 are writing on behalf of our friend and classmate, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, to attest to her honesty, integrity, and intelligence, and to contend that her decision to provide information pertaining to a sexual assault is not a partisan act. It is an act of civic duty, and the experience she described in her letter needs to be seriously considered. We represent all political parties, and we support Christine bringing this matter forward. Now, first of all, I don't know if Ms. McLean saw the letter before September 17, 2018, before September 16, 2018, posted in the Washington Post. And I don't know if the letter was posted or if they just wrote about that particular incident. So you can Google that and find out. It's the Washington Post, dated September 16, 2018. So we don't know exactly when Ms. McLean found out about the letter, and no one asked and no one mentioned her name, to the best of my ability. Another thing that caught my attention in this particular letter, allegedly written by Ms. McLean and signed by 22 other 1984 classmates of Miss Blasey Ford, states it is an act of civil duty and the experience she described in her letter needs to be seriously considered. It is an act of civic duty. And I want to bring this to your attention, which I don't think anyone else in the nation has caught. And I think it's important. Ford testified under oath to the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing that she was terrified to go public with her story. She said it's her civic duty to tell the senators what happened. In this September 17, 2018 letter, the letter reads, it is an act of civic duty. And that struck me strange that Christine Blasey Ford testified under oath, I think it was in her opening statement, that she believed it's her civic duty to tell the senators what happened. Maybe that's just a coincidence. Christine has had to weigh the personal cost of sharing her experience against her own conscience. We recognize that this has been an extraordinarily difficult decision and admire her courage, being willing to speak her truth when it would have been easier to stay silent. As sexual assault violates a woman's most fundamental rights, it must be considered a failure of character at any age, regardless of the subsequent accomplishments and power attained by the offender. It should not be dismissed as youthful bad judgment, however abhorrent it may be. In light of Christine's experience, we hold our elected officials responsible, the letter says, for conducting a more thorough and comprehensive review of the Supreme Court nominee. He has been interviewed by the FBI over the years, six times, and this is the seventh or eighth time that he has had a background check, and each time until Christine Blasey Ford testified, he has had an impeccable record with not one female coming forward to question his inappropriate behavior towards females. And many females have come forward and said they dated him, or they worked with him, or they were interns, and he always treated them like ladies. So this letter goes on and says, we stand with our friend Christine Blasey Ford and admire her honesty and resolve on behalf of our nation. And it's signed by 22 persons who were in the class of 1984. With Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, and it includes the name Monica McLean. And so again, I find it quite a coincidence that Miss McLean may have written this letter and that she stated it is an act of civic duty, and that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford stated under oath in her statement that she believes it's her civic duty to tell the senators what happened. Now, I don't know if that's a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences personally. Some research into Ms. Ford's lifelong friend from school, Ms. Monica Lee McLean, reveals an almost guaranteed likelihood that polygraph assistance has something to do with the career path, helped the career path of Miss McLean and the direction it would take. So remember that it was Dr. Christine Blasey Ford who is alleged to have helped, according to the ex-boyfriend, helped former FBI agent and lawyer Monica L. McLean prepare for a potential polygraph exam, explained in detail what to expect, how polygraphs worked, and helped McLean become familiar and less nervous about the exam. Dr. Ford was able to help because of her background in psychology, according to her ex-boyfriend. And she was also her roommate for a while. So these are all very important issues, because Dr. Christine Blasey Ford testified under oath that she was at a hotel, and she was on a tight schedule to catch an airplane back to California after the hearings, that she had attended her grandmother's funeral that day, so she had to be in grieving and in mourning. So who takes a polygraph when you are grieving, you just left your grandmother's funeral, you're in mourning, and you have to catch a plane to get back to California? Well, she did, according to her testimony, and according to a former FBI agent who administered the test. And so the part that she understands everything about a polygraph test, which is not admissible as evidence in a court of law, because they can't be manipulated if the person knows how to pass a polygraph test. That's another very important issue. So she helped Miss Monica Lee McLean pass her polygraph test, according to the ex-boyfriend. And then, apparently, with two questions and not naming Judge Kavanaugh during the polygraph test, according to the news articles, she was able to pass the polygraph test. So that's very, very interesting indeed. This goes on to say that Monica Lee McLean was admitted to the California bar in 1992, the same year Ms. Ford's boyfriend stated he began a 6-year relationship with her best friend. The address for the current inactive California law license is now listed as Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. That's Rehoboth, Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. According to her LinkedIn background, Ms. Monica Lee McLean was a 24-year employee of the Department of Justice and the FBI from 1992 until 2016. According to public records, Ms. McLean worked in both Los Angeles, California, and New York. In a 2000 Los Angeles FBI declaration, Ms. McLean describes herself as a special agent of the FBI, associate division counsel in the Los Angeles Division Legal Unit. Now, during those years when they weren't living together or in Delaware or Hawaii or going to school together, and their long life friends, at some point she, according to her boyfriend, assisted her best friend, Ms. McLean, with how to pass a polygraph test. They must have talked by phone, by fax, by email, in person. They must have talked during those years. And it would seem to me that if you had a best friend that was an FBI agent and a lawyer, that that would be the first person you would talk to if you had a serious sexual harassment trauma that terrorized you all of your life for 36 years. It appears to me that you would ask your best friend, and you would have gone to the party with your best friend. Do you recall the party? Do you recall the incident? Do you recall me ever mentioning the incident? And since she's a lawyer and an FBI agent, a former FBI agent, why didn't she go to her best friend and ask her, what can I do? Can you give me legal advice? Can you investigate this matter? She could have gone to the police. She could have gone to the district attorney. She could have gone to her parents. She could have gone to the deans of the high school and or the university, wherever it took place. I think it was in high school. She could have gone to the school principals, to the counselors. There were so many different outlets. And especially if I had a best friend that was a FBI agent and a lawyer, I would definitely be talking to her first, because I would trust her. I would believe that she's going to keep everything confidential, and I would believe she'd give me the best advice and that she would do whatever she could to investigate the alleged crime. Nonetheless, sometime between 2000 and 2003, Ms. Monica L. McLean transferred to the Southern District of New York, FBI New York Field Office, where she shows up on various reports, including media reports, as a spokesperson for the FBI. There was a family death in 2003, and Monica McLean then shows up with an address linked to Washington, D.C. in 2003. So it would appear Ms. McLean spent about 10 years in California and then returned to the East Coast. After 2003, Ms. Monica McLean is working with the SDNY as a public information officer for the FBI New York Field Office, side by side with SDNY Attorney General
Preet Bharara.
There's a press release that lists U.S. Attorney's Office Yusel Scribner, Rebecca Carmichael, Janice O., Public Information Office, FBI Jim McGarland, Monica McLean, Public Information Office, phone number 212-384-2720, 2715. DOI, Diane Struzzi, Public Information Office, DOL, OIG, Jeffrey Lagda, Public Information Office. Then it goes on to mention this case. Former owner of Petrocelli Electric Company sentenced in Manhattan federal court to 3 months in prison for making illegal payments to union official. And this name's Preet Bharara, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Joseph M. Demarest Jr., the Assistant Director in Charge of the New York Field Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, Rose Gilhern, the Commissioner of the New York City Department of Investigation. According to her LinkedIn profile, Ms. McLean retired from the FBI in 2016 after 24 years of work. It should be noted that Ms. McLean's PIO partner in New York, Jim Margolin, is still currently employed there and coincidentally attached to this case against President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen. It does not appear that Ms. Monica Al McLean ever married. On the East Coast, her historic address are Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and former Bassetta, Maryland. Maryland's beautiful. Visited it once when I was in D.C. It's beautiful. The Potomac, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Malibu, California, Los Angeles, California, Laguna Beach, California, Marina Del Rey, California, and Laguna Hills, California, respectively, all addressing coincidence with her employment and transferred assignments therein. This article goes on to say, in an April 2016 article in the Delaware Cape Gazette, Ms. McLean shows up at a wine tasting event and is pictured within the publication with a large pink purse. Ms. McLean is pictured above with the large pink handbag. This article confirms the location of Monica McLean in relationship to the numerous public record citations of her Delaware residence. Here's where things get really interesting. Ms. Monica Lee McLean and Ms. Christine Blasey Ford are lifelong friends, obviously, that have known each other since their high school days at Holton Arms, and both lived together as roommates in California after college. Their close friendship is cited by Ms. Ford's former boyfriend of 6 years. Ms. Monica McLean retired from the FBI in 2016, apparently right after the presidential election. Her current residence is listed at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which aligns with public records and the serendipitous printed article. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And this will be extremely interesting to find out just exactly what happened between the hearing and this article. So it goes on to the transcript of the hearing, the Senate hearing, and Prosecutor Mitchell asks Christine Blasey Ford, who testified under oath. The second is the letter that you wrote to Senator Feinstein dated the July 30th of this year. Prosecutor Mitchell said, "Did you write the letter yourself?" Ford said, "I did." Prosecutor Mitchell said, "And I, well, since it's dated July 30th, did you write it on that date?" And Ford says, "I believe so. It sounds right. I was in Rehoboth, Delaware at the time. I could look into my calendar and try to figure that out, it seemed." Prosecutor Mitchell says, was it written on or about that date? Ford says, yes, yes, I traveled, I think, the 26th of July to Rehoboth, Delaware. So that makes sense, because I wrote it from there. I wrote the letter from there. Prosecutor Mitchell says, is the letter accurate? And Ford answers, I'll take a minute to read it. So, what does that mean? It means we have Dr. Blasey Ford in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, on July 26, 2018. We've got her lifelong BFF, best friend, forever, Monica L. McLean, who worked as attorney and former FBI agent in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and apparently at the same time she wrote the letter to Senator Dianne Feinstein, dated July 30th. Miss Blasey Ford and Miss McLean, the BFF, she coached on the lie detector testing together for the 4 days leading up to the actual writing of the letter. July 26th to July 30th, that's when she was in Rehoboth, Delaware. It would appear that Miss Blasey Ford, with Miss Monica L. McLean, the retired FBI agent and former New York field office spokesperson, at the time she wrote the letter to Senator Feinstein, were seeing each other, possibly, allegedly, may have been seeing each other, because Dr. Ford testified she was in the driveway in a car, I suppose, and in Delaware, and that she was researching lawyers and looking for a lawyer. And that she also testified she didn't know she needed a lawyer, but then she testified that she was in Delaware and she was looking for a lawyer, and that's before, apparently, allegedly, before Feinstein received the confidential letter that Feinstein did not turn over to Senator Grassley and the FBI for a confidential investigation 6 or 7 weeks before the hearing and the testimony. She dropped the nuke on the GOP senators, the nation, and the accused, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, on the 11th hour, and after it was leaked to the Washington Post from her office staff. So that would certainly begin to explain quite a bit about who exactly was handling Ms. Ford and how there would be an intentional effort from a subject matter expert on how to best position the attack against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Now, this is not to say maybe she was attacked by someone somewhere, some address, some house in the 80s. Who knows? Nobody else knows but her. Nobody remembers any such incident. She also wrote in her letters that it happened in the 80s and the early 80s and maybe after that, and she wasn't sure. And then by the time she got to the hearing 6 weeks later, somehow she pinpointed it to 1982. Who better to help scrub the internet history and know what processes and people to enlist in such preparatory work than a retired lawyer who worked deeply inside the FBI, says this article. Not only did Ms. McLean possess a particular set of skills to assist Ms. Ford, but Ms. McLean would also have a network of DOJ and FBI resources to assist in the endeavor. A former friendly FBI agent to do the polygraph, a network of politically motivated allies. Does the appearance of FBI insider and deputy FBI director to Andrew McCabe, Michael Bromwick, begin to make more sense? Also, one of the attorneys for Julie Switzer, a woman who also made allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh without any corroboration, and then backtracked on her story when the FBI did an investigation, apparently, according to the news, is alleged to have employed attorney Katz, who Senator Feinstein recommended the law firm of Katz to Dr. Ford. And senators generally do not recommend lawyers when you write them a letter, and that it hasn't even been turned over to the FBI or to the Senate chairman of the committee for investigation. So that was very strange, in my opinion. And the other lawyer was a male lawyer, and Representative Sheila Jackson walked up to him, and she's not a senator, so no one knows why she was speaking with Senator Feinstein and Representative Senator Kamala Harris at the hearings, and then walked over to Ford's attorney, male attorney, and handed him a white envelope that he slipped into his pocket, which was caught on video. So no one really knows what was going on. And the Julie Switzer, who accused Judge Kavanaugh and then recanted, she hired attorney Avenetti, who represents Stormy Daniels against President Trump. So it seems like a small community of long-time, long-term associations. Do the loud and overwhelming requests by political allies for the FBI intervention take on a different meaning or make more sense now? Standing back and taking a look at the bigger, big picture, could it be that Mrs. McLean and her team of ideological compatriots within the DOJ and FBI, who have been massive access to grind, who have massive access to grind against the current Trump administration, are behind the entire endeavor? Considering all of the embattled, angry institutional officials, former and current, and considering the recently fired DOJ and FBI officials, and considering the officials currently under investigation, the declassification request, which will likely lead to the exposure of even more corruption, could it be that these elements wanted to do something, anything, to get back at the executive branch, President Trump, and probably change the tide? If so, I think the likelihood is pretty good. It doesn't everything known just easily reconcile if you think of Miss Blasey Ford as a tool for those ideologues? Did they use her for this political agenda? If Miss Monica Lee McLean and her allies wanted to strike, she couldn't be the visible face of the confrontation because she was a retired FBI agent. It would be too obvious. She would need a patsy, a friend who would and could deploy the hit on her their behalf. It would need to be someone she could shape, easily manage, and guide, someone who could be trusted and at the same time would be trusting them. It's quite likely Miss McLean selected, recruited her lifelong best friend, Miss Christine Blasey Ford. And it's really interesting that here we have a letter allegedly written by Monica McLean with 22 signatures of classmates from 1984 who attended school with Christine Blasey Ford and signed it, as well as Monica McLean, stating in the letter, "It is an active duty. It is an act of civic duty," and the experience she described in her letter. So when did, the question I'm curious about is when did Monica McLean see the letter? Did she help compose the letter when Cynthia Blasey Ford was in Delaware, in the same city where Monica McLean lives? And it's just a coincidence that she used the word civic duty in in the letter to the United States Congress, and that Christine Blasey Ford, in her opening statements, stated that she felt it was her civic duty to tell the senators what happened. Are those clues? Could it be? Or is it just coincidence? Is it a coincidence that Ford's ex-boyfriend stated that she helped McLean learn how to take a polygraph test? It's also alleged that Christine Blasey Ford wrote a paper on how to falsify artificial situations and self-hypnosis. So all of these issues are very important. Is it just a coincidence that Avenatti represented Julie Switzer, and it's alleged that Attorney Katz represented her when Julie Switzer was allegedly sued for sexual harassment by her employer for sexually harassing employees? And is it a coincidence that one of the attorneys represented McCabe as well? Are these all just coincidences? If you believe in coincidences, that's fine. It's up to you to decide, of course, and make up your own mind. But on the other hand, it seems to me that someone needs to figure this out and look at these details. And look at the big picture and who was involved and how they're linked, how they're connected, and why did Christine Blasey Ford not go to her best friend since childhood, who was an FBI agent for many years, 24 years, and also a lawyer, and confide in her in 2012 when she allegedly told a therapist that she had been sexually assaulted, and that she allegedly told her husband at that time when they were arguing over adding a second door to her home because she said she was claustrophobic and she had to have a extra door to escape, and yet that door was used for renters according to the articles. And that she actually had lived, according to her boyfriend, in a 500-square-foot house with one door without complaining, never mentioning anything about being claustrophobic. She also flew in planes with him, never mentioned anything about fear of flying. So all of these things need to be addressed. And why they didn't mention Monica Lee McLean in the hearings is extremely interesting as well. So, and don't forget, she also was her roommate at one point. So they're very close, and yet if I had such a problem and needed advice, I would definitely go to my best friend, confide in my best friend, and especially if my best friend, and I would be so lucky to have a friend who was a lawyer, who could advise me, as well as a former an FBI agent at the time who could investigate my allegations against a judge and who was a student at that particular time. And he denies all of it. He emphatically denies all of it. The witnesses that she named have no recollection of any party or any incident, or where it could even possibly have occurred, and neither does she. So, on that note, remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to Columbo Chronicles live every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. on the West Coast. Look the time up in your area, in your country, and God bless you. God bless America. And enjoy your week and your weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.